We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Home run. Second of the night, upper deck. A two-homer night for Corey Dickerson. None of them were cheap. And Dickerson's hit three homers against the Braves in two games in this series.
Johan Camargo getting the start in right field for the Braves tonight. He's facing his third different pitcher, and he launches one to deep right field. We got a one-run game. Johan Camargo with a rocket shot, and it's 6-5.
The Braves kept fighting last night. Chip Carey on Fox Sports South, but couldn't quite pull it out as the Philadelphia Phillies hit five home runs against the Atlanta Braves to win 6-5. In game two of the series and of the road trip. And welcome to the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning to you, Hugh. What up?
Good morning. Good morning, John. Forget how you doing this
Good
morning.
Man. What up?
Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Hump day. Happy hump day. A lot going on. Just the first work day for the Atlanta Falcons, getting back to work. Hopefully, you know, get that sour taste out their mouth. So we're moving forward. We've kind of had our couch moments. Now we're kind of moving forward.
It is the Falcons Wednesday, so to speak, because head coach Dan Quinn, if you're going to be in your car, if you're working this morning, if you're out on the streets of Atlanta, 1 hour from now, head coach Dan Quinn will join us live, and we'll ask him all the questions that we're going to ask him about being pissed off and about, you know, what's going on. They have made a decision in the depth chart that Jaymon Brown will start at right guard, and we'll talk to him about all the issues heading to Sunday night's game. That's 1 hour from now with head coach Dan Quinn live with John and Hugh. So as we get into that, though, let's get back to the Braves for a second because you need to know a couple things you need to know this morning if you're just getting up. Braves do lose to the Phillies last night 6-5, but Washington also lost. They were shut out on the road at Minnesota, and so now we're just kind of ticking that clock away. The Braves stay 9.5 games ahead of Washington now with only 16 games to go, and so we're just waiting for that inevitable moment. It appears in about 10 days or so.
Yeah, and the Dodgers clinched last night. They clinched the West, so yeah, you have that. And I think Boston clinched as well. I think Boston was another team that clinched. It wasn't Boston. Dodgers. The Dodgers clinched, and it was something. What did Boston do last night? Didn't Boston do something last night? But yeah, it was the Dodgers. My bad. Dodgers clinched last night. So yeah.
Did Boston
move forward?
Maybe Boston clinched in reverse. Are they out of the race for the AL East? Is that possible? I don't know. I'd have to go look it up.
Yeah, maybe that's what I meant. They clinched in reverse. Maybe I heard it wrong.
Okay. But Tampa's behind the Yankees, right? Yeah, I don't know. We'll check out whatever that is. Anyway, the Dodgers are first in, not that that's any surprise.
And yeah, there's a lot going on. And Christian Yelich got hurt. That's what it was. Yelich got hurt.
Yeah, Yelich got hurt.
And I'm wondering now, does that change kind of like, you know, did he do enough during his season to still be in the running for the MVP, or could that possibly move somebody else in that position, i.e. maybe Freddie Freeman or maybe Acuna? I'm just thinking.
Yeah, and so
got a lot on my mind this morning.
Yeah, Freddie had another RBI last night. The MVP race is going to be an interesting race. This happened last night in Milwaukee, and this is such a, you know, it's such a gigantic blow to the Brewers to lose Christian Yelich for the remainder of the season, which is what happened last night on a freak play, and this is what happened.
1-1 to Yelich. Hit foul right off the top of Yelich's foot, and he is down on a knee. Head down, and Rafael Freitas, Brewers athletic trainer, and Craig Counsell right behind him, out to chat. And did it hit him in the foot at all? It did not. It hit him on his front knee, the right knee. Ouch. And Christian Yelich is sitting down with his arms across his two knees, and his head is now buried into his wrists. And he is not feeling good right now, I can tell you that much.
That was Brewers Radio. He's not going to feel good after they came back with the determination that he had fractured his right kneecap on a foul. Hugh, I don't know that I'm not sure if I ever heard of fouling a ball off your kneecap. I mean, off your foot, off your instep, off your toe. He fouled it off his kneecap, broke his kneecap. He's out for the year.
Oh, man, that's terrible. I can imagine the kind of pain that he was in when that happened. That's, man, that is terrible.
And this is just a huge blow for the Milwaukee Brewers, who are only one game back of the wild card because there's like five teams fighting for that wild card right now. And Milwaukee, for as great as they played last year, remember, if you recall last year, they ended up tying on the last day of the regular season in Wrigley Field and then beating the Cubs in the wild card game and all that kind of stuff. And they had high hopes for this year, and they were still very much alive and maybe being able to make a run again this year. And now that has been seriously damaged by losing, you know, potentially the MVP. But to your point, Hugh, I mean, with Yelich out and with 16 games to go, if Freddie continues to put up numbers, it may now become Freddie and Cody Bellinger for the MVP.
You never know. You never know. I just thought that was the thing. I just thought about that this morning when I heard the news that Christian was out. That, can't be the MVP. Can't make, you know, unfortunately for him, he got hurt, but you can't be the MVP if you're hurt. Yeah, saw what happened to Carson Wentz, so yeah. Just that thought process.
Braves and Phillies again tonight in Game 3. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on our Falcons Wednesday, where Dan Quinn will join us in the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll react to a lot of things with the Atlanta Falcons this morning with you. Coming up in about 12 or 13 minutes from now in our second segment this morning, we're going to be talking about a story where one of the Philadelphia Eagles talks about how he's a little bit concerned about Falcons fans being involved in all of this. And you know, the NFL is making a lot of news, Hugh, off the field. It seems more than on the field in the first couple of weeks, too.
Hey, this is the drama. That is the NFL, man. I mean, you know, you got a lot of guys hurt. Antonio Brown's back in the news. He got a lot going on with him. It's just a lot. This is the storyline that is the NFL. There's never a dull moment when the season starts. No question about that.
Yeah, whether it's Odell Beckham's watch or this story about the fan and the beer and the Titans game against Cleveland and you know, pouring the beer on. Can I just, because I was just talking about this with Abe, and I was thinking about that story, Hugh. I don't know if you heard this story about the touchdown by the Titans and they were pouring beer on the guy, right? If you jump in as a player, if you jump into the opposing stands, can you pretty much expect that something's going to go on?
It shouldn't, but if you put yourself out there like that, if you go in the stands, then you kind of open yourself up for all that. Because the one thing we've learned is that fans. Some fans, not all fans are like this, but some fans feel like when they pay their money, they can say or do anything to the athletes. And that's the point that we're at right now, with no recourse. So in order to stop any of that from happening, you have to kind of, you know, it's a thin line, because you want to interact with fans, but at the same time, you got to be careful about the situations that you put yourself in. Perfect example, Mike Scott. You know, looking at that situation that happened in Philadelphia, got a little bit more context about it. But Mike Scott's out there hanging out with the fans. Something happens, and he gets into a tete-a-tete with the fans wearing a Redskins jersey. So you have to be careful, man. And you have to know that there are some people out there that are just out there to try to push your buttons for whatever reason. If it's to get a payday, if it's to get some recognition or something like that, there are people out there that are clout chasers, and they're going to do whatever they can possibly do to put you in a bad spot to make you look bad. Because the bottom line is this, John, is that no matter how it plays out, you, the professional athlete, you're in the wrong.
Almost always, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're in the wrong. Whether or not you're defending yourself, you're defending your position, people feel that because you are in a position that you're in, or you're a professional athlete, that whenever there's anybody disagrees with you or says something to you, that you're not supposed to have, it's not supposed to be any recourse. You're not supposed to say anything. You're just supposed to take it and keep it moving.
Of course, a lot of the headlines this morning as we talk about the NFL, which will start tomorrow night. Again, Thursday Night Football will be interesting, and we'll be breaking that down tomorrow with a division game in the NFC South between the Bucs and the Panthers. We'll get into that tomorrow. We'll certainly talk about what's ahead for the Falcons and Eagles with you, talking about what this Eagle said about the fans here in town. We'll do that in a few minutes as well, because he said what this was a Lance Johnson, Lane Johnson, their offensive lineman, who said that the fans in Atlanta are going to be a handful to deal with. And that kind of sparked a conversation among us last night, because it is interesting. Are our fans going to show out for this first game?
I think they will. They know that a lot of Philadelphia fans are coming down here, and I think that a lot of Falcons fans are not going to want to have that happen. You know, it's funny, because this kind of started, like, as a joke on my Twitter feed, and it's kind of gotten a little bit out of hand, but, you know, that's how my Twitter feed usually rolls. It gets out of hand on mine. But, yeah, they were talking about how they're coming down to invade the city and all this other stuff, and the Falcons fans are going back and forth, and I think they're going to show up and show out. You have to. The season's not over. You know, you have some of those doom and gloom Falcon fans that feel like, you know, with the first game looking similar to some games in the past, that it's over. But you got those diehards, man, that they're excited about it. They're excited that they're at home, and they're excited they're playing against a good opponent.
Yeah, if you reclimate your season, now is the opportunity. I know those fans, Hugh. We saw them all on Twitter. Every time we post something, and somebody would just – they would do – by the way, if you tweet in regard to any Falcon thread, 0-16 – check yourself, okay? I mean, really, that's all you got to offer is something ridiculous like that? I mean, you got your opinion, but come on. You know, give me something I can work with. 0-16 is not something I can work with. And what happens, by the way, if the Falcons turn this around and suddenly in a couple of 3 weeks, Hugh and I are on the radio and we're talking about big things? Because that could happen. It's not out of the way. This is still a good football team. They played a bad 7.5 minutes. They played bad in the other 52.5 minutes, too, at times. But you know what? There were glimpses there.
Yeah, but for fans, and this is what I've gotten. I've gotten a lot of fans talking about, well, why this team didn't do that? Why this team didn't look like this or that team didn't look like that? Those are questions that I can't answer. I wish I could, but I cannot answer those for you.
All right, so we're going to talk about you fans, and you can jump into the program any way you want on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, on the phone lines at 404-741-0929, on our Twitter at 929thegame, on Twitter at BigHugh53, on Twitter at John Fricke, all right? And we're going to talk about what this Philadelphia Eagles player, Lane Johnson, said about you, and we're going to ask you whether or not you think you're going to show out on Sunday night. We'll do that next after a CBS Sports Minute.
Just wanted to make sure when I got back with the team again, we said after we're done today and we watched it, we went through it, the preparation begins again. Got to get the mistakes corrected and get our football right like we like to play.
Well, not getting behind 21-0 and just not getting off to the start we did. If we could have got that to 21-7 there, I think we could have stayed in our game plan, but that was such a time-consuming drive. By the time that drive was over, you know, that was pretty much it for the third quarter, and we were out of possession, so we really couldn't, you know, we had to kind of go into two-minute mode for the whole fourth quarter.
Falcons offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter talking about not being able to cut into that lead. Had a chance to make it 14-7, fumbled that away. Had a chance to make it 21-7, threw that away. And it just got to be a numbers game for the Atlanta Falcons on opening night. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Wednesday. In about 35 minutes or so, 37 minutes, Dan Quinn, head coach of the Falcons, will join us live. So Lane Johnson of the Eagles, Hugh, comes out, and we'd love to have your reaction to this. Falcons fans at 404-741-0929. In an article yesterday in the Philadelphia Inquirer, Johnson said that they need to work. He's an offensive lineman on a silent cadence because the fans in Atlanta are going to be so loud. And for all the, you know, angst that we get from Atlanta fans, you know, oh, they're fair weather fans, which I've never thought was true anyway. I was sort of surprised to see that they were worried about the Atlanta fans, kind of pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you go anytime you feel like you're going into a hostile environment, you want to make sure that you have that done. You want to make sure that you have something in place so that in case it does get like that. It could get loud in the bins, no question about that.
Yeah, so we're asking you this morning, you know, what do you expect from the crowd on Sunday? Because here are a couple of truths, all right? One, Atlanta, the Falcons last year, they were, I think, ninth in the league in attendance. They were top 10 in attendance last year. I mean, so again, the rep, Hugh, also, we know that there's one person in particular at this radio station who loves
Bo Morgan.
Not that we're saying anybody's name, just additional.
I can say Bo. You know what? Bo is turning over a new leaf, man. Bo is becoming a bridge builder. I'm proud of Bo. Bo has mended some relationships in his past that he has shared with me. I'm not going to put all his business out there, but Bo is becoming a bridge builder. And Bo is the guy that feels that, you know, Falcons fans need to be in the stadium earlier. They get there at a leisurely pace. So yeah, that's Bo. But yeah, to hear that, yeah, the fan, like, that's any place you go where you know that there's a strong fan base. And you know, I know Atlanta gets a bad rap, but they have a strong fan base, man. I'm friends with a lot of diehard Atlanta Falcons fans, man. No question about that. And they love their team, and they're gonna be there. They might not be in the building when the game starts, and I know that burns somebody's biscuits, but they're gonna be there. It's a lot going on in that parking lot, man. It's a lot going on in that parking lot. It's a whole lot of stretchy Falcons pants that the women wear that you know, it's a party. It's just a party.
Yeah, right now, though, we could use the fans. And I think that's kind of the point here. Do you think the fans are going to pack the Benz and be in their seats by kickoff so that they can make a lot of noise from the jump?
That's a lot to ask for.
Yeah, I know. But that's what we're asking. You know, maybe it's because there are times where the fans will show up and get into their seats early. We saw that at the Georgia Dome, for example, Hugh in the playoffs. I mean, by the time kickoff came around, the place is full, you know.
Listen, I don't know how – I've been around the parking lot. And I've seen some of the tailgates. Like, and I tell everybody, like, Philadelphia has some great tailgates. They have some themed tailgates that are, you know, a little bit distasteful, in my opinion. But, you know, it's Philly. Some of you know still love my Philly fan. But here, when you go to the tailgates here, man, the home of, you know, butt-naked dancers and trap music and all that other good stuff, it's different. I've been to tailgates with the Hailgators when I first got here. Shout out to the Hailgators, where they set up a whole, like, they have a dance floor. They have, like, green grass. They have, like, TV set up. They have a DJ booth set up. Dude, these tailgates are intricate and elaborate, and they're fun. And some people don't even go to the games. They'll sit in the parking lot, and they tailgate. They will watch the game. They will have it set up with the satellite feed. And they will watch the game in the parking lot because it's the party's in the parking lot. And sometimes when I was with the hell, they would have like live performances from local Atlanta artists. Where else you gonna get a tailgate like
that? What kind of artists are you talking about here?
I'm talking about the trap music artists. Oh, okay. You know, not your genre of music. But
I wasn't thinking of that.
You asked the question and I gave you the answer. But that's what it is. Here it's just it's different. It's different. And then you go across the street to the Home Depot parking lot. It's something different. You walk around the corner. You know, you got V103 and Frank Ski there doing his thing. Dude, there's so many different tailgates. There's so much diversity in that parking lot. And the weather's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard. Like, it's kind of hard for people to leave those atmospheres. I know Steve Ewing. Shout out to my man Steve Ewing, Wave 4. He puts on a great tailgate. He parks the bus right there, man. He has, like, the chef is cooking. Dude, it's a great time in that parking lot. It really is.
Are the fans going to be in their seats for the opening kick? One of the questions we have about Sunday's opener at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which, as you said, begins with that Wade Ford tailgate show at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and that'll lead us to the pregame show, the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff at 6:20, and, of course, the kick at 8:20 from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And the Eagles are preparing for you guys to be, you guys and gals, when I say guys, I'm talking about everybody, for Falcons fans to be in their seats and be loud, because despite all the angst that we have had to go through since about 4:14 p.m. on, well, actually since about 1:14 p.m. on Sunday to now in that opening game, the fact of the matter remains, for all the negativity on Twitter, Hugh, there's going to be a sense of rallying here for the home opener, because the season isn't – that's what I was trying to make the point about 0-16. This season isn't shot, Hugh. There was an awful game. A lot of teams – is the Pittsburgh Steelers season over? Is the Browns season over?
No, John, but I get where Falcons fans are coming from. Not saying that they're right, but when you see some of the same things over and over again, it's frustrating for them. No question about that.
Get on in the Diamond Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It's an 8:20 game. The fans will be ready. Usually it's a 1 p.m. game that people aren't ready for. Too early for a city like Atlanta. Okay.
Because Saturday night is like crunk. Think about it. It's going to be nice in the city. It's going to be a warm weekend. And you have all these different people that are going to be coming into town, man. And it's a lot going on in the city.
Ken's in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh. Are the fans going to be loud and ready to go from kickoff on, Ken?
How about it, buddy?
How about it?
Hey, Hugh.
Yo, what's going on?
You remember a couple years ago, it was you and Rick Kimley. Y'all was doing the the pregame tailgate. In the parking lot, I'm that guy that had that real, real big grill that used to be right in front of y'all stage.
You talk about used to drive up like it like a big old trash can, like one of them industrial trash cans grills. That's a long time ago. You know how many people come out there and barbecue?
Nah, it wasn't a big trash can grill. But yeah, I know what you're saying though. But we get a bad rap, man. Just like you said. If you come out there for a tailgate, you'll get what you want. And we have performances and everything, man. We just need to come in, and we need to show up and show out and send Philly fans back to where they came from. No offense, Hugh. I know
None taken, brother. I live here in Atlanta, like I was telling Philly fans last night when I went on some shows up there. Listen, I live here, and I would like to be able to still visit there when I decide to go. So I got to keep it neutral.
Pete's indicator. Pete, you know, the fans.
Pete!
Do you think the fans, Pete, have a responsibility to be there and be loud from the jump to try and disrupt that Philadelphia offense like Lane Johnson's talking about?
Yes and no. But I'm going to explain to you kind of like how it happens. And the last time the Philadelphia Eagles played the Falcons here in Atlanta at the Dome, that's the first time I actually met Hugh Douglas. And we met him in the stadium. And the Eagles fans was in there deep early on. And all you heard was the Eagle chants. And then the next thing you know, somebody in the sound booth started playing there. Pastor Troy, ain't no more playing GA. And everything went nuts.
It's different. See, it's different
the
here.
The thing is, we got to get to them in the parking lot before they even get in the stadium. And when we out there tailgating, like, we give Eagles fans and opposing fans crazy business before they even get to the stadium, to even get to their seats to get comfortable. Like, they get harassed so bad coming off a ball, it don't make no sense.
Yeah, it's a fun time, man. It's a fun time.
Yeah, it is a fun time. And getting there and being part of this, you know, I've always said that, you know, yes, it's a fun time. It's a festival time. I love going to games. I love to tailgate. You know, when I'm not working and I could just go as a fan, it is a lot. But there, you know, there's, you know, a sense that, you know, the fans, this is one of the things that people go, oh, I just watch it on TV. Boy, you miss something when the environment is hopping and it's loud and it's intense and it's ripping through. And not only could we see it, but, you know, as a player, you, for all the times that it could affect what happened on the field, it affected the Falcons last week.
No, it does. I mean, you talk about those fans, those Minnesota fans, man, and how loud that was. And when they did the Atlanta United clap, I'm just going to call it Atlanta United clap. No disrespect to Minnesota. I know it's the skull clap and all the other good stuff. But it reminded me of Atlanta United. But, yeah, when they did that, that's an intimidating place to play. And that does play into it. It really does help. But, again, I'm not about to sit here and try to tell a bunch of grown individuals that are diehard Falcons fans when they get in their seats, not knowing what they have going on during the course of their Sundays. I know it's going to be a late game. I know they're going to show up, and I know they're going to show out, and they're going to be in the building. They are going to be in the building. Like, again, on my timeline, looking at some of the stuff that people are talking about doing and the things that they have done, they're going to be there, and they're going to be loud, and they're going to be proud.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I think for all the griping this week, Falcons fans are going to stand and represent from the kickoff. Not one of those where maybe they filed in late first quarter or something. A lot going on a very busy Wednesday, about half an hour ahead of our interview with head coach Dan Quinn live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We do something every morning called the Morning Menu where Abe asks three questions. We're going to get those three questions and then ask you as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. He calls it the Morning Menu, and we'll get the three questions, Hugh and I, and then after the segment is over, we'll tweet out and ask you the same questions. All right.
It's kind of just three appetizer rounds, as you mentioned. Dan Quinn, obviously, the main course today. So we'll get right to it.
Hey, I like how you did that.
Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
Yeah, you know what? Apps for dinner, if you ever do that, that's a fun thing to do.
The unlimited apps for dinner is
a fun
thing.
You get like six people together and just eat apps.
I can just do it by myself. Three or four apps solo we can do. All right. Okay, question number one. If you're an opposing pitcher, which Braves hitter scares you the most?
If you're opposing pitcher, I would probably say Acuna.
Okay.
I'd say because he gets the party started. Like, he's had a lot of games where he's gotten the party started, and it's been all downhill. I would say, well, I only got one answer. I only got one answer, right? I only get one.
But there's only eight players you're going to take who hit. I mean,
no, I'm just Smarty Pants. No, I'm just saying, I only get one. I only get to pick one, right?
Yeah, that's probably how.
Forget you, Abe. Keep it. Go ahead and pick one, John. Forget you, Abe.
No, I agree with you. I think, you know, Acuña has to scare you the most.
Unbelievable.
Well, listen, wait a second. But I think
Petty trainers left.
We're talking about arguably the best, or the most dangerous, the most lethal leadoff hitter that baseball has seen in terms of power and speed since Ricky Henderson.
He going to hit us with a number. Well,
George Springer this year.
But, over the past couple of weeks, he's not been doing this and that.
No, here's my argument.
Fine, here we go.
Because if you don't get past Acuña, you're dead.
Freddie Freeman's the scariest hitter on this team because he's not easy to strike out. Acuña, you can get by because you can strike him out.
He has the most strikeouts this year, like what is it, like a hundred?
In the entire National League.
In the majors. He got the most in the majors.
Probably now. Still. Look, obviously Acuña is an incredible threat. I think Freddie gives you a little bit more of a professional bat. I think he's got a slightly better eye. He's more willing to take a walk than Acuña is. But I also just think he'll battle you. I think he's tougher to strike out, and he can do the same damage with the bat. He probably has, 30 or 32 doubles this year to go with the 38 home runs. I think Acuña's got 38 bombs as well. So, and obviously we know where the averages are at. Freddie, after three hits last night, is at 305, and Acuña, after also three hits, is at 280-something, high 280s, maybe low 290s.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument that it could be JD. You can make an
absolutely
argument.
Absolutely. It's a great problem to have.
You can make an argument that it's Ozzie.
I would say Ozzie from the right side might be the scariest hitter.
Well, not only
he's
that, but
almost
because,
390,
you know, you got, if you don't get him out between Acuña, Freeman, and Donaldson, you could have serious trouble in an inning.
Yeah, well, you're playing in terms of where in the lineup they are and who's on base. I was doing more in general, but that's fine.
Okay.
But it's a good problem to have that we're debating Freeman, Acuña, Albie.
Don't try
Donaldson,
to make me feel better
guys.
Now about the decision that I've made. Don't placate me.
Oh,
don't
no,
do
no,
me
no,
like that.
Don't get it twisted. You're both wrong here. We know that. Okay. You're not avoiding this question because I've asked pretty much everyone at the station.
That sounds aggressive.
For their I want to get this on record here. I've asked essentially everyone at this channel their thoughts. And no one's giving me an answer I like. I'm going to hear your thoughts.
No one's giving me
again.
An answer I like.
I want to hear your thoughts again, and then we'll get the listeners' thoughts on social media.
What?
I need your theories why the Falcons didn't kick the PAT, why they went for two. I want your theories. Put them out there.
Yeah, we talked about this the other day. I guess because you didn't want the point total to look so bad.
Terrible theory. Next. Ricky, your attempt.
Wait. You want my theory or you want the Why? I have no idea why.
I know you have no idea. That's why it's a theory.
My theory is, I guess you wanted to work on your 2-point extra point. I have no. I don't know. I have no
clue.
Hugh,
is that any better than your theory?
Probably not.
We're
probably.
I mean, it makes. There's no chart that you could have. You know,
we're going for two.
That says when we're down 28-0 and score 6 points, we should go for two.
My
no
turn.
Chart.
My
What's
turn.
The philosophy?
Hugh,
tell you.
You might want to sit down.
What,
I'm
Bryant is hurt or
Matt Bryant got hurt in warm-ups.
That's what you think.
That's what I'm going with. Sore quad, something, tight hamstring, I don't know. I feel like something had to happen that was so far out of the box for them to actually go for two there both times.
Man, come on.
Either they didn't feel good about something, whether it was the turf,
but I understand.
A plant
Wait,
foot, a sore leg, I don't know.
The second time made sense from a chart standpoint.
Yeah, but, well, I still no, but sure.
No, but I mean 28-14 at that point.
You don't make the points up that early, but
well,
either way.
I would say this. Maybe it's because given Matt Ryan's age, his advanced age, maybe they were just saving him for next week. Maybe they were giving him another week under his belt to get, you know, acclimated to being back on the roster. Because you got to think, he just got signed Friday. Now, I think that
Bro,
if the
you
game
kick four PATs.
Well, you asked me for a theory and I'm giving you one. Don't rebuke my theory when I'm giving it to
well,
you.
You did ask for a theory.
You might be falling in line with my theory though, is that something
well,
happened
well,
with
Bryant.
Wait
a minute. Now, we know Matt Bryant has been kicking.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But you're risking your kicker that you signed on a Friday in a game that when you hear Dirk Cotter talk, basically conceded that you lost in the third quarter. Because
we're
you're
throwing it away at 21-6.
Dude, did you hear what the man said? I'm giving you a theory. Why are you?
He
why
didn't
are you
say defo- that when it was 21-6, though. He said that after the game.
That was his thought process during the game. He said the drive in the third quarter took up too much time.
Right,
I'm really interested.
No
and he said basically, He had to go 2 minutes in the second quarter. I mean, in the fourth quarter.
I'm really interested to see what the listeners think. I'm really interested to put this on Twitter and see what they say.
Yeah, and the morning menu will be on Twitter
It's supposed
here.
To be Wednesday. We're supposed to be moving on from this.
We are.
Get ready
right
for the next game.
You're talking about 2 point extra.
We're moving on here.
What the heck?
Third appetizer course here on the morning
menu.
You
didn't got everybody all hyped this morning. What you doing, man? You doing?
We go wait till Twitter hits this. It's going to be fun. It'll be a good morning. Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
Third question. What's your favorite movie of all time?
Blade, without a doubt. 1, 2, and 3.
Which
and
one of the three?
Rebooting it.
Which
the first
one of the three?
And they're rebooting with, what's his name? Mahershala.
I don't think that's what I'm pretty sure that's not how it's pronounced.
Mahershala.
Ali.
Mahershala.
Fricky, your favorite film of all time?
That is not easy. There's so many to pick from. I'm sitting here racking my brain because my favorite movie to watch of all time is probably Independence Day, only because I could quote the whole bloody thing. But is it my favorite film of all time? Not Porky.
You can't watch that now.
What was the one that was in Sex and the City? I did not know that was her.
Porky's, or in the technical director's got me here and said Porky.
Lassie? Oh, yeah. Porky's was a good movie.
For the sake of the clock right now, I'll say Independence Day, but I reserve the right to change my answer on Twitter.
Mine's a Guy Ritchie, Jason Statham, Brad Pitt film. Came after Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. It's called Snatch.
Snatch was a good movie, though.
It's my favorite movie of all time.
The Piker.
The Pikey. I mean, I'm pretty much like you in terms of being able to quote that whole film, except parts of that film, they have unintelligible accents, and no one knows what's going on.
You like Dags. You like Dags? But is that other kind of caravan?
Oh, sure. I like Dags. I like caravans more.
What other caravan? Yeah, that was like Brad Pitt.
I also own the soundtrack, which this is part of. I've bought the movie Snatch 9 times.
Mahershala.
In different films.
Mahershala.
In different ways.
Minutia.
All right, I'll stay with Independence Day. Hey, Monster Jam fans, go to the contest page at 929thegame.com for the chance to win a family 4-pack of tickets. Monster Jam Triple Threat Series, September 13th. That's next week, 13th through the 15th. Infinite Energy Arena. Tickets available at monsterjam.com. Head coach Dan Quinn joins us live next on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.